Boy, we are an inquisitive bunch, are we not? We love to ask questions. You wait till that little guy starts talking. Why? And it doesn't stop. The questions just get more difficult. We want to know how things work. We take things apart just to see how do those gears actually make something move. If you're like me, you're not sure how to put things back together, but we take them apart. We want to know why. We have philosophy. We sit back and actually think about why are we here? What's the point? We go to schools to learn how different things just work together. We learn about math. It's just a part of our nature. We're inquisitive. And today's gospel lesson is no different. Now, Jesus is put on the spot, and I really appreciate how we hear from Matthew that this isn't just any group of people asking questions. The gospel starts out hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Well, if you read a little earlier, the Sadducees come up and start questioning Jesus as well. They're trying to trap him. They're testing him. The Sadducees ask, why should we pay taxes? I mean, come on. They think he might be some type of a political anarchist, someone that's going to cause an uprising. And so they want to know, should we pay taxes? And Jesus, of course, has the answer. Whose face is on the coin? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to the Lord what is the Lord's. Another question comes up from the Sadducees. You got to remember, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. And so they ask the question and build up this big list. A woman gets married and her husband dies, and she gets married again and her husband dies. She gets married again. Well, at the resurrection, who's her husband going to be? And Jesus answers them. Number one, he told them that there is a resurrection. That had to cause their mouths to drop open. But he filled in the answer to their question and he silenced them. Their mouths were shut. They had no more questions. So the Pharisees, I mean, think about it. These two groups of people were going at it left and right all the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees just have watched the Sadducees been shut up. They said, okay, let us throw a question out there. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Again, a little background. Over the centuries, the Pharisees and the people of the law, the people of the book, had added laws upon laws upon laws. Hundreds of laws of what you could do and what you couldn't do. Things you should do, things you shouldn't do. And what they're asking is almost an impossible question. Of all the laws that are out there, great teacher, and I am one of those that read this with a little tongue-in-cheek. Oh, teacher, which is the greatest of all these laws? And Jesus answers them, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And he adds, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. It's what our heart feels and understands towards God and our neighbor. Much like last week's sermon. Put God first, your neighbor second, and if there's time, then me comes into play. But our prayer before the service started, that our elder Norm Amsler always gives a prayer every week for the assistant, myself, and our deaconess is back there, Carol. And Norm's prayer today was, thanks for reminding us. And I'm not even going to do it as eloquently as Norm could. But you know, he prayed, thank you, God, for reminding us that you come first and our neighbor comes second. And then if there's any time left over, we come third, and usually we have forgotten what it is that we really need because you've already given it to us. It's a beautiful prayer. I appreciate it today. That was a wonderful prayer. Everything, all of the laws and commandments hang on these two commandments. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus has a question for them. And as it turns out, it is the most important question that any of us, anyone in the world, will encounter in their lifetime. What do you think about the Christ? It's a very easy question. I have no doubt that little man probably had an answer. But it's one that each of us is asked and we must answer. What do you think about the Christ? I've read books where people have written page after page after page. He was a great thinker. What a great man. Wrong answer. I have read books about what a wonderful Jewish spiritual leader. He really knew the law and the commandments. Wrong answer. He was a prophet. Wrong answer. There is only one answer to this question. And the Pharisees try to answer. They say, when Jesus said, whose son is he? Oh, he's the son of David. Jesus points them back to the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, David wrote in Psalm 110, this is David writing, and Jesus reminds them, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David writes, the Lord said to my Lord. Put yourself in David's spot. The Lord said to my Lord. Who is the Christ? They knew that David was writing about the Messiah, but how could the Messiah be David's son if David calls him Lord? A father would never call his son Lord. It didn't work that way. You addressed your God, your master, and those above you as Lord, but not your son. So how could David, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say, the Lord God said to my Lord? Unless he was talking about someone else. This isn't about Solomon. The Pharisees were speechless. And it comes back to the question, what do you say about the Christ? Who is he? I'm going to go to a different lesson in Matthew, because Peter, one of the great disciples, I mean, Peter used to just get himself into so much trouble. He rushed into situations left and right and never thought before he put his feet into action. But Peter was posed with a very, very similar question. Jesus asked Peter, keep in mind, not an expert in the law, just a fisherman. Peter, who is the Son of Man? And Peter said, well, some say it's John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus says, no, 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 Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got the question right. It's the same answer that we all must give as well. It's the only answer to the question, What do you think about the Christ? Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Peter did not appear to be much of a thinker. He was an action man. He saw Jesus out in the water, and his first reaction was, Let me walk out to you. Bad idea, Peter. But the Father opened his eyes, cleansed his heart, and allowed him to say, You are the Christ. That's our answer. We'll each be faced with it. Not just us sitting here, but everyone in the world. Who do you say is the Christ? What do you think about the Christ? Let us ask for the Father to give us that open mind so that we can answer without hesitation that you are the Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Pharisees were stupefied. The gospel lesson ends, no one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. I don't think they stopped having questions. Like I said, it's in our nature to question things. I think they realized that they could have no upper hand on this man before them. He shut their mouths up. So this week, when you're sitting around, maybe in a quiet time, maybe on your way to work, sitting in a traffic jam, instead of getting mad at the man in front of you or the truck that's trying to cut you off, give some thought. Who do you say is the Christ? And put a smile on your face and say, Thank you, Father in heaven, for I know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And it is through him, it is by him, the only way we have access back to the Father. Thanks be to God. Amen.